chapter 4. Seeing as how the choir is singing this special today, I thought that we would just look at the same subject. Or are you washed in the blood? Washed in the blood. When? Yes. It is five. What did I say? Okay, it's five. Verses 12 and 13. We had a good time practicing Tuesday night. And if any of you can come and join us, we would be glad to have the extra help. Yes. We didn't tell you. You said you were sick. Okay, well, we'll let you know. We'll be here Tuesday night at 7, so be here. Okay. Yeah. All right. Stand with me, if you will, in honor of God's word. Luke chapter 5, verse 12 and 13. And it came to pass, when he was in a certain city, behold, a man full of leprosy, who seeing Jesus fell on his face and besought him, saying, Lord, if thou wilt, thou canst make me clean. And he put forth his hand and touched him, saying, I will, be thou clean. And immediately the leprosy departed from him. Let's pray. Father, thank you for the wonderful spirit that we feel here this morning. Lord, we know that we are all totally dependent upon your Holy Spirit. And Father, I pray that you would fill us, each and every one, with your spirit. Search my heart and remove anything that would hinder the working of the Holy Spirit through me. Lord, give us understanding of your doctrine. Give us understanding of your truth. And Lord, I pray that there will be no one left here today that's not washed in the blood. Lord, I pray that you guide us in everything that we do and say. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. We're coming up on Easter. And the purpose for the crucifixion was so that Jesus could shed his blood to wash away the sins of all mankind. What a wonderful truth that is. When we come to Christ to receive him as our Savior, what happens is that God the Father applies the blood of Jesus to our account, and we are completely declared righteous. And folks, I want you to know that is a wonderful state to be in. We are righteous this morning, those of us who have received Christ as our Savior, because we have been declared so by our Creator. And He has made us righteous through the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. Are you washed in the blood? If you're not, this is the day to be washed in the blood. We have every opportunity this morning for anyone who has questions about their life, whether or not they really are ready for heaven, to make it right. You see, Jesus stands ready to save anybody who will call upon his name. It's not by our merits, it's not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to his mercy, he saved us. And so it is a beautiful picture of this. Leprosy in the Bible represents sin almost all the time. Not that lepers were sinners, they were, but not any more so than anybody else. It was that sin, that leprosy was incurable, just like sin. And so he had a condition that could never be fixed in this world. Let's look at that condition, verse 12a. And it came to pass, when he was in a certain city, behold, a man full of leprosy, who seeing Jesus, fell on his face and besought him, saying, Lord, if thou wilt, thou canst make me clean. Now, here is the situation. The man had leprosy. He was full of leprosy. He was going to die with leprosy. Nobody could cure leprosy. There was no hope for him. But he saw Jesus. And knowing that Jesus had the power of God in him, He said, if you will, you can make me clean. That's a pretty good prayer. You see, he had a condition that nothing could fix but God. Can you identify with that? We all have conditions that cannot be fixed apart from God. It's the only hope that we have. We are dirty. Isaiah verse 6 of chapter 64 says this, but we are all as an unclean thing, and all our righteousnesses are as filthy rags. We all do fade as a leaf, and our iniquities like the wind have taken us away. He uses the word all several times in that verse. Did you see that? He includes everybody. It's not just Isaiah. It's not just me. It's not just you. It's everybody. All humans are dirty. We are all as an unclean thing, every one of us. We are all under sin. We are all going out of the way. There is none that seeketh after God. You see, that's a condition. We're born into that condition. And as soon as we choose to sin, the first time we die spiritually, and nobody can fix dead except God. God breathed into our nostrils the breath of life in the Garden of Eden through Adam, and all of us became living souls. When we are born again, the same thing happens. This time, it is the breath of the Holy Spirit that breathes into our nostrils once again, the breath of life. The word is pneumas. And God breathed the Spirit into Adam, and he breathes the Spirit into us when we receive Christ as our Savior. That's the reason God told Nicodemus, when Nicodemus came to him, he said, teacher, we know that you are a teacher come from God, because nobody can do these miracles that you do except that God be with him. Jesus just cut to the chase. He didn't get into all the semantics. He just said, you got to be born again. That's what Nicodemus wanted to know. How do you fix this sin problem? You got to be born again. How do you fix this dead problem? You got to be born again. You see, Jesus knew who we were and what we would do before he ever created us. And he had the plan of salvation all worked out, how he would give us new life. But he knew that if he didn't seal that new life, we'd lose that in about 10 minutes, and then we'd be up a stump. So he seals us until the day of redemption. And that part of us never sins again. And that's the part that's going to go to heaven. When I die, this old body is going to return to the dust from whence it came. And the spirit will return to the Lord who gave it. That spirit that came to me when I put my faith in the Lord Jesus Christ will be my spirit throughout all eternity. I already have eternal life. This old body is going to die, but my spirit's going to live forever. It's going to live forever with Jesus in the presence of the holy angels. But right now, we're looking at this fella. He was dirty, but he was also departed. Isaiah 53 and verse 6, all we like sheep have gone astray. There's that word all again. We've turned everyone to his own way, and the Lord has laid on Jesus the iniquity of us all. Every bit of the sin. I want you to get the picture here. Let's suppose that this is a recording of all the sins that you've ever done in all of your life. Here is you, and God loves you, but he hates your sin. And your iniquities have separated between you and your God. But look what this verse says. All we have gone astray. We've turned everyone to his own way, and there's all kinds of stuff in here that can condemn us to an eternal hell. But the Lord has laid on Jesus the iniquity of us all. And then on the cross, he poured out his wrath that would have been mine and yours throughout all eternity on Jesus until his wrath was satisfied. And once it was satisfied, it was all over with. Nothing left to do except to receive Christ as our Savior. When we have Christ, we have salvation. When we have Christ, we have life. When we have Christ, we have perfect righteousness. We're just waiting till he comes back to get us. This man was doomed. He was doomed to die as a leper. And lost people are doomed to die in their sin with no hope. A lot of people have come up with plans that they hope will get them into heaven. They're going to try to do more good than bad. They're going to try to do this. They're going to try to deserve heaven. One fellow told me, he said, one of these days when I really set my mind to it, I'm going to quit sinning and then I'll be saved. Not going to happen, folks. See, all that's a trick of the devil. If you're trying to work your way to heaven, you're working your way to hell. Because there is no heaven at the end of good works. Listen to what the Bible says in John 3:36. He that believeth on the Son hath everlasting life. And he that believeth not the Son shall not see life, but the wrath of God abides on him. You see, without Jesus, there is no hope. You see that? The condition of every lost person in this world is a hopeless condition without Jesus Christ. There is no hope of salvation apart from Jesus Christ. And I want you to know, all those people in government that are voting for all the wrong stuff, you know, trying to turn our nation into a socialistic nation and all that, you know what they need? They need Jesus. And when we pray for our nation, we need to pray that God will help them see that need and that they would come to know Christ as Savior. That's what they need. They're just a friend that we haven't met yet. Jesus has salvation for every one of them. And he offers it to them. But like Israel of old, he said of Israel, all day long I have stretched out my hand to a disobedient and gainsaying people. Until our nation turns back to God, there will be no victory. There will be no peace until we all focus on the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, I want you to see the cry that this leper made. Here he is. He's a leper. There is nothing he can do about that except bring it to Jesus. Listen to this. This second part of verse 12. And it came to pass, when he was in a certain city, behold, a man full of leprosy, who seeing Jesus, fell on his face and besought him, saying, Lord, if thou wilt, thou canst make me clean. You see the faith in that? He's saying to Jesus, I believe that you can fix my leprosy. When we come to Jesus to put our trust in him, we don't come making promises that we can't keep. It'd be like this leper saying, Lord, if you'll just get me started here, I'll cure this leprosy. Well, he couldn't do that any more than we can stop sinning. We come to Jesus and we say, Lord, I believe if you will, you can solve my sin problem. You can make me whole. It is important how we approach Jesus at salvation. It is important that we understand that only the blood of Jesus affects a change in our sinful life. Only the blood of Jesus makes the difference. We don't help. We don't in any way add to our salvation. We just simply receive as a free gift when we cry out to God, Lord, be merciful to me, a sinner. That's what this man was saying to Jesus. Lord, be merciful to me, a leper. And if you will, you can make me clean. The perception is important. Luke 18:9-14 says this. And he spake this parable unto certain which trusted in themselves that they were righteous and despised others. Two men went up into the temple to pray, the one a Pharisee and the other a publican. The Pharisee stood and prayed thus with himself, God, I thank thee that I am not as other men, are, extortioners, unjust, adulterers, or even as this publican. I fast twice in the week. I give tithes of all that I possess. And the publican, standing afar off, would not lift so much as his eyes unto heaven, but smote upon his breast, saying, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. I tell you, this man went down to his house justified rather than the other. For everyone that exalteth himself shall be abased, and he that humbleth himself shall be exalted. It is absolutely necessary to approach God in humility, understanding our absolute dependence upon his power to save us. We can't come to the Lord and say, Lord, I'm almost there. I need a little something. I mean, I'm a good person. There's a lot more good in my life than there is bad. I try not to hurt anybody. If you'll just give me a little push, I can save myself. You're not going to get saved under that attitude. Notice he gives us this illustration to help us understand the perspective we've got to have. We have to understand that we are needy. We are absolutely dependent upon him, and we throw ourselves upon his mercy. And he saves us by his blood. The promise that he gives us in Romans 10, 8 through 13 is that if we call, if we cry, if we ask, he will save us. But what saith it? The word is nigh thee, even in thy mouth and in thy heart. That is the word of faith which we preach, that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. For the scripture saith, whosoever believeth on him shall not be ashamed. For there is no difference between the Jew and the Greek, for the same Lord over all is rich unto all that call upon him. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. That's a promise you can sink your faith into. Prayer does no good whatsoever without a promise. Here you have a promise. Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. We have to believe that he is able to do what we ask him to do. And we have to believe that he is able to save us, and we call upon him just like this poor leper, knowing that the only hope we have is Jesus Christ. And if we do that, then he will save us because he has promised to do that. I thank God that we don't have to hope we're saved. I know beyond a shadow of a doubt, when I take my last breath in this life, I'm going to wake up in heaven, not because of my goodness, but because of what Jesus has done for me on the cross, and that he has applied that blood to me, and he has made me acceptable in the beloved. When I get to heaven, I'm going to get in because Jesus Christ lives in my heart. He has saved me, and he has declared me righteous. When I stand before God one day, there's not going to be one sin charged to my account. I'm going to tell you, that's good stuff. He's not going to say, well, you like to not made it up here. All that's gone. When I stand before the Lord Jesus Christ, I'm going to be clothed in his righteousness because I am now washed in his blood. And I will be perfectly holy in heaven. That's shouting ground, folks. We don't earn it. We don't deserve it. But we have it as a free gift. The plea. Psalm 52, 1 through 7. I love this passage. Have mercy upon me, O God, according to thy loving kindness, according unto the multitude of thy tender mercies, blot out my transgressions. Wash me thoroughly from my iniquity, and cleanse me from my sin. For I acknowledge my transgressions, and my sin is ever before me. Against thee only have I sinned, and done this evil in thy sight, that thou mightest be justified when thou speakest, and be clear when thou judgest. Behold, I was shapen in iniquity, and in sin did my mother conceive me. Behold, thou desirest truth in the inward parts, and in the hidden part thou shalt make me to know wisdom. Purge me with hyssop, and I shall be clean. Wash me, and I shall be whiter than snow. The hyssop was a plant that was used to dip in the blood and to sprinkle the blood of the sacrifice on the altar and the mercy seat. And he is talking about the sprinkling of the blood of Jesus Christ, because God was prophesying how he would bring Jesus into the world to save us from our sin. Wash me, and I shall be whiter than snow. Isaiah 18, verse 1 says this, "Come now, let us reason together, saith the Lord. Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. Though they be red like crimson, they shall be as wool." Isn't that wonderful? You say, "Well, I just don't think I deserve to go to heaven." Well, you're exactly right. Jesus did that for you. And once we're saved, we don't live good enough to get to heaven even after we're saved. If we got what we deserve for the way we live right now, we'd all go to hell. But Jesus has sealed us so that we cannot tamper with our salvation. It is completely set apart. 1 John chapter 3 and verse 9 says, "Whosoever is born of God does not commit sin, for his seed remains in him, and he cannot sin because he's born of God." Understand, the word "cannot" is the key there. It's not that you should not, it's that you cannot. You say, "Wait a minute, Brother Allen, I can still sin." Well, understand what part of you is born of the Spirit. What did Jesus tell Nicodemus? "That which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is spirit." That part of us that is sealed until the day of redemption does not participate when we sin. Romans chapter 7, Paul says, "When I sin, it's no longer I that do it, but sin that dwells in me. It is my flesh that sins, my spirit does not participate." And so one of these days, I'm going to lay this old sinful body down, and six of my friends are going to carry me right down the center aisle of a church, and I'm going to be free from sin. Because my spirit's going to go to the Lord. And I'm going to be there looking a whole lot better than my flesh really is, because Jesus is going to shine through me. And all of that because he has washed me from my sin in his own blood. That's wonderful stuff. Let's look at the cleansing. Verse 13. "And he put forth his hand and touched him, saying, I will, be thou clean. Immediately, the leprosy departed from him." I like that last phrase. He said, if you will, you can make me clean. He said, "I will. Be thou clean." He said that to me. He said that to you. We said, "Lord, please save me. Have mercy on me. I'm a sinner. I cannot save myself. There's nothing I can do to merit your salvation. Please save me." He said, "I will. You're saved." Immediately. Say, "Wait a minute, I have to do penance." No, you don't. I have to straighten up my life. If you can do that, you don't need Jesus. You come to Jesus just the way you are. And he says, "I will be cleansed. Come unto me, all you that labor and heavy laden. I'll give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me. For I am meek and lowly in heart, and you shall find rest unto your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light." I have found that to be true. The yoke of the Lord is very easy, very light, and we have rest. You know what that rest is? It is rest from the concern of missing heaven and going to hell. Don't have to worry about that anymore. Just like this leper didn't have to worry about anything about his leprosy after that. He was clean. We don't have to worry about that. God has chosen, now listen to this very carefully, God has chosen to leave us with this treasure of salvation in an earthen vessel. That was his choice. The God I serve could have snapped his finger and my flesh would have been perfectly sinless. One of these days, the new body's going to be that way. God could have done that, but he chose to leave me in this sinful body. You say, "Why in the world would God do that?" Well, he tells us, "So the excellency of the power might be of God, not of us." When we get to heaven, nobody will be able to boast. Nobody will be able to say, I was a better Christian than you were. I did more for Jesus than you did. You say, wait a minute. Some people really do a lot for Jesus. No, they don't. Jesus does a lot through them by his choice. But if you are washed in the blood, when you stand before God in heaven, the only righteousness is going to be the righteousness of Jesus. And we all have the same acceptance as anybody else. The Apostle Paul is going to be the same as you and me. And glad to have it, because he knows where he would be in his own flesh. He makes that clear. He said, this is a faithful saying, and worthy of all acceptation, that Jesus Christ came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am chief. You see, Paul knew who he was. He was just a sinner saved by grace, like the rest of us. We all have the perfect righteousness of Jesus. God is the author of all cleansing of sinners. Don't forget that. Trying harder doesn't get the job done. Working faster doesn't get the job done. Only God can cleanse a sinner. Listen to this. Titus 3:3-7. For we ourselves also were sometimes foolish, disobedient, deceived, serving divers lusts and pleasures, living in malice and envy, hateful and hating one another. But after that the kindness and love of God our Savior toward man appeared, not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to his mercy he saved us by the washing of regeneration and renewing of the Holy Ghost, which he shed on us abundantly through Jesus Christ our Savior, that being justified by his grace, we should be made heirs according to the hope of eternal life. Isn't that good? It wasn't what we did. It's what Jesus did for us. And now we are heirs of eternal life as a free gift. And it's for every sinner who will acknowledge his need of a Savior. Simple as that. You say, wait a minute. I don't think those wicked sinners deserve to be saved. Neither do you. Mark it down. There's none of us wicked sinners deserve to be saved. But I'll tell you something. Any wicked sinner who'll throw himself on the mercy of God, say, Lord, be merciful to me, a sinner, God will save him. Don't you ever think he won't. He came into the world to save us sinners. And he came to seek and to save that which was lost, looking for every possible person who will turn to him in faith so that he can take them to heaven. If we would obey the promptings of God, every human would go to heaven. He died for everybody. He has his grace presented to everybody. And it is his will that none should perish, but that all should come to repentance. But if we fail to do that, we still die in our sins, even though the price has already been paid. Even though Jesus has already paid the penalty for our sins, we still have to spend eternity in the lake of fire. What we need is grace. Titus 2:11 says, for the grace of God that bringeth salvation hath appeared to all men. That's a very good verse, folks. There are people saying today that God doesn't call everybody. Well, that kind of contradicts that, doesn't it? The grace of God, and it's not just general grace, it's the grace of God that brings salvation, has appeared to all men. And if any man will respond, It's just like he says to the church of Laodicea, "Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man will open the door, I will come in, will sup with him and he with me." It is an open invitation to every man. The Spirit and the bride say, "Come." And let him that is thirsty come. And whosoever will, let him drink the water of life freely. It's for everybody. Jesus wants to save everybody. And his grace is there for the taking. It's a gift. Ephesians 2, 8 and 9. "For by grace are you saved, through faith. But that not of yourself, it is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast." You see, faith is a gift when we hear the gospel. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. It is not until we hear the gospel that faith is created within our hearts. But once it's created within our hearts, we have enough faith to be saved if we use that faith. If we resist it and we don't use it, it's gone. Either use it or lose it. But it is a gift to us through the hearing of the gospel message. And the gospel message is really simple. That Jesus died for our sins according to the scriptures. He was buried the third day. He rose from the dead according to the scriptures. If you believe that Jesus Christ was the Son of God, and that that he rose from the dead, and that his death, burial, and resurrection was enough to take you to heaven, then you can be saved. It's as simple as that. I remember one time we were at a seminar, and the guy asked if anybody could give him the gospel. I gave him the gospel. He said, "In my 20 years of teaching, nobody's ever given me the gospel like that." After the class, they all came up to me and they said, "You didn't say anything about repentance. You didn't say anything about doing better, turning your life around." I said, "You're exactly right. I didn't say that." Because that's not what the gospel is. You know what repentance is all about, folks? It is turning from dead works that I try to do to save myself to faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. That's what repentance is all about. It is not stopping sinning so you can be saved. Try that. Go out and stop sinning. And then whenever you realize that's not going to work, then you throw yourself upon the mercy of the Lord Jesus Christ. And you repent from the effort to try to save yourself. And you put your whole faith in what Jesus has done on the cross. I believe with all my heart that there will be thousands of Baptist church members in hell. I believe that there will be thousands of Methodist church members in hell. I believe there will be thousands of every denomination in hell because they're just religious. And they're trying to work their way to heaven. And Jesus said, "I say to them, depart from me, ye that work iniquity, for I never knew you." It is the effort, the work, the thinking that I can save myself that's going to send most people to hell. Jesus said the way into heaven is very narrow. And few there be that find it. But the way that leads to destruction is broad. And many will go in thereat. Now, I want you to examine your heart this morning. There is nothing worse that you can do in this world than to miss heaven. You may be the most successful businessman that ever lived. You may have more money when you die than anybody. But if you miss heaven, you have wasted your life. Have you given your total dependence to Jesus Christ for your salvation? Or do you still think there's something you've got to do to get you there? You've got to turn loose of all that. That's repentance. You can't help Jesus save you. A lot of religions play that to the hilt. You sin, you lose. But I want you to know, That's a religion that leads to hell. If you're here this morning and you have never fully trusted Jesus, now what I mean by that is that you're trusting Jesus plus something else. If you've not fully trusted Jesus with your salvation, I want to encourage you to do that this morning. Jesus died to save every one of us. And every one of us can be saved. But we can only go through that narrow door of Jesus Christ. Him alone. You can't take all of your own goodness and good deeds through that door. It won't fit. You've got to get rid of it. Cast all that aside. Put your trust in Jesus and Him alone. And if you'll call on the name of the Lord, you have a promise that Jesus will save. Let's stand and go to the Lord in prayer.